But there's this idea of a constructive discontent. You can be grateful for what you have and still want more. I struggle with this, the fact that I'm like, am I not just happy with what I have? I have so much. But the idea to strive for more and more of not only what you want, but more for our family, our clients, and the people we work with, more is not bad.
Success isn't just about what you achieve. It's about living a life that reflects your values and priorities. Welcome to Engineer Your Success, the podcast that helps you lead with intention and live fulfilled.
You know how to solve tough technical problems, but leading people? That's a different challenge. Stepping into leadership means more than just knowing your stuff. It's about inspiring, communicating, and navigating challenges with confidence. At Engineer Your Success, we help technical pros like you grow into leaders who just don't manage the work, but lead the people who do. If you're ready to lead with clarity and impact, visit EngineerYourSuccessNow.com today, because thriving isn't just for others, it's for you. Welcome to the Engineer Your Success podcast. My name is Dr. James Bryan, your host and guide to designing and living a life where you are winning at work and at home. And today we have Mr. Jake Kennington. Welcome to the show.
Hey, James. I appreciate it. I'm glad to be here. Thanks for having me on.
So tell us a little bit about yourself.
I'm a licensed structural engineer. I've been doing this for over a decade. I worked for two different companies, started in California, moved out to Salt Lake City, been out here for about 2.5 years. So 4 days a week, I work as a practicing structural engineer. Love it. Still love engineering. Love what I'm doing. But similar to what you're doing, James, I coach engineers as well. And so on Fridays, that's my day to do coaching. So that's who I am and what I'm doing.
So let's talk about your career trajectory. What made you want to get into structural engineering?
Well, I went to college. I didn't know what to study. So I was undeclared for the longest time. Like most engineers, I enjoyed math and sciences. So I decided I'm a math major. I quickly figured out, what am I going to do with that as far as a career? I mean, I figured out it wasn't for me. So I studied mechanical engineering. I thought, oh, engineering is applied mathematics and science, right? And mechanical was also not for me. I lasted a whole semester and ended up switching to civil. For me, civil engineering was always structural engineering. You could see it being built. You could have a plot of land that was nothing, and then a year later, it was a building. That fascinated me.
Yeah. So was there something in particular that really drew you into being a structural engineer?
When I was younger, I was drawn to architecture, the idea of architecture, of buildings and how they functioned and that kind of thing. But I also knew I didn't want to be an architect. And so I think you marry this idea and love of buildings with the science and the math behind it, and structures just made sense for me.
What's a memorable project that you worked on?
My second job, actually, that I went to apply for and interviewed for, they asked me this and I drew a blank. I'm like, I don't know. I've been doing this for 10 years and I can't think of one. But my most memorable one was probably the first job that I worked on with Reevely Engineers up in Salt Lake City. It was the first project on my new job. And they threw me right into the gauntlet, man. It was like a $70 million project. I had been used to working on very small week-long projects that were low budget, 50 projects a year. This new company had me working on this project that was a behavioral health facility for children. Three-story, pretty much a hospital without any of the emergency services. That project lasted almost 2 years from beginning to end. And for me, it was memorable because it lasted so long and I really got to sink my teeth into it. I was on the project site 30 times during construction administration. And it was neat to see the project from conception to being finished and doors open. It was really cool.
What would you say is the biggest contrast, or maybe it's a lesson that you learn in terms of adaptability, between working for a smaller firm where you're doing a little bit of everything to working for a larger firm?
When you work for a smaller firm, you kind of have to do a little bit of everything. You just get exposed to a little bit of everything. The flip side to that is it's hard to ever really gain your footing because it's just always change, a new project. And like I said, I was working on 40 to 50 projects a year. That's like one a week. and you don't get to sink your teeth into it. My recommendation to most engineers, if they're just starting out, is to work for a small firm to get your experience in as many different areas as you can. And then if you feel like you need that experience working for a bigger firm, the magazine cover projects, right? Then go ahead and do that. But I've seen a lot of younger engineers struggle in a bigger firm environment straight out of college because they're working on these big projects for years and they're only doing a small part of a larger project. And they just don't get the exposure that maybe they could have with a smaller firm.
What drove your transition from a smaller firm to a larger firm?
This is a great question. They asked me this in the interview as well. I said, well, I'm looking for more exposure to different types of projects, more exposure to different engineers and their thought processes, more exposure to different type of leadership styles. Because working with a small firm, although you get exposure to a lot of things within the small firm, this may be obvious, but there's only so many engineers and so many people.
If you're listening and you're at that point in your career, what is it that you want to explore? Where is it that you want to grow? How can you begin to intentionally take steps to grow in that area? If you are in a place of discontent, and when I say discontent, I mean, you're satisfied, everything is going well, but you want more, then start thinking now, what is the more that I want?
I agree 100%.
I don't know if we often think about the more of what. We just know that there's something missing and we want something different, but we're not always able to articulate what that is. I remember when I was making the transition into full-time entrepreneurship and had a great job, great organization, loved it. Everything was, everything was good, but I wanted more. I started doing coaching, started doing some things on the side, and I was more excited and more drawn to that than I was the engineering stuff that I was doing. And for me, having that experience helped me understand the more that I want.
Yeah, I love that we're talking about this, but there's this idea of a constructive discontent. You can be grateful for what you have and still want more. I struggle with this, the fact that I'm like, why am I not just happy with what I have? I have so much. But the idea to strive for more and more of not only what you want, but more for our family, our clients, and the people we work with, more is not bad, right?
Another way to look at that is you can be content, but not complacent at the same time. So you can be content with what you have. You can be content with who you are, but you're not complacent because there's this hunger for growth. There's this hunger for something more. And I think those things can exist equally. When you practice gratitude and what you're grateful for, you really are appreciative of what you have. There are times when you want more because you want to get away from something. You're familiar with the 80-20 rule, but there's also this whole ideal that most people are either motivated by gain or the absence of pain. If pain is driving them, they're looking at their current circumstances and want to get away. If gain is driving you, it doesn't matter what the current circumstances are. The current circumstances can be good. You're looking ahead to the future because that is what drives you.
I love that. Oh, it drives you. That's great.
All right. You mentioned earlier that you were at a smaller firm. Then you went to a larger firm, but you also talked about going back to this smaller firm. So let's talk about that transition.
I left the first firm in California, the smaller firm, on good terms. I feel like this is the best decision for me and my family at the time, which had us move several hundred miles away from our family and friends. It was a big decision, but we felt like it was the right decision. Then almost exactly 3 years later, I had this idea. What if I went back to this firm in California? And I said, I think there's an opportunity for me to scale back the time I'm spending on engineering so that I can pursue some of these entrepreneurship type ideas. The problem is I don't want two 40-hour a week jobs. The life I want is not working 40 hours a week because I want to be able to spend time with my wife and kids. And I reached out to the firm that I worked for previously, and I said, hey, I knew they had an ad out for another engineer. They needed somebody. And so I said, I know you have an ad out. How would you feel about me working remote and only 4 days a week? It wasn't an ultimatum. It was just, what do you think? They were open to it. I was able to go back there, work 4 days a week. For me, it was a win-win. It wasn't because I wasn't finding what I wanted at the larger firm. It's just life changes sometimes and your priorities change and how you want to spend your time changes. And I saw this as a good opportunity.
No, I think that's great. There are a few nuggets there. One, when you are making the transition or leaving your firm, you don't want to burn those bridges. You want to leave on good terms. You want to be able to nurture those relationships. That firm could be a reference to you. You want to make sure that you are leaving things in good standing when you transition from one firm to another. And the other point is that as life evolves, so does your definition of success. When you were single or in school, you had a definition of what success looked like. Then you got married. Guess what happens? Your definition of success changes. You have kids. Guess what? Whether you know it or not, whether it is something, a conscious decision that you're making, your definition of success begins to change.
Yeah, I love both of those points. Back to not burning bridges. I spent 40 hours a week working with these people for over a decade. I'm closer with them than my own family. I loved these people. Like, they were my friends. And so leaving, although it wasn't ideal for them, was understood. And then the last thing that you just said, we're allowed to change our mind. And like you said, our definition of success. I think people need to hear that.
A lot of this comes down to how do you define your identity? If you're only defining your identity as an engineer or a structural engineer, then if that changes, you're lost. If you only define your identity by your career, then you're missing out on a whole nother half of what makes you you, and that's your personal life. When you're able to successfully navigate the blending of those two sides of your world, you truly start to walk in a fulfilled life.
Yeah, there's a design concept called strong column, weak beam. The idea is that in a huge, extreme seismic or wind event, that we want to prioritize the integrity of a column over a beam. And that's because if the beam comes down, it's kind of a localized failure. If a column comes down, it's probably not good for anybody in the building. The whole building might come down. Column is more integral with the building itself. So we prioritize the design of the column over the beam. That's not to say the beam isn't important. And that's not to say, I hate the term strong column, weak beam, because structural engineers don't ever design anything to be weak. That is a horrible word. I prefer strong beam, stronger column, right? And the parallel to life is exactly what you just said. And I think a blend is great. People say work-life balance and all that. I think our personal life and who we are and how we spend our time outside of our career is actually more important than what we do in our careers. It's nice when we can blend those and make them one and the same. But a lot of people show up at work and they have this hat they put on as an engineer, and then they go home and they're a dad or a husband or a pastor or whatever they do in their spare time. It's not to put one above the other, but in the end, they're both important. But we lose sight of how important that column is. We lose sight of how important that personal side of things are. You see it in engineering. You go to lunch and all engineers talk about is engineering. And I'm like, dude, there's so much more to life than engineering.
What I always say is that work and life is two sides to the same coin. The coin is you. Whatever's happening at work is going to impact your life. If there's something going on in your life, it's going to impact your work. Now, you still may be able to deliver projects on time and be highly productive, but you may not respond to your colleagues the same way when you have something that's not quite in the right place or not going the right way at home.
I almost exclusively focus my coaching on helping people in the personal side of it. And what I find is the reason I do that is because there's this trickle effect into the career side, that there's this influence, this positive influence, right? It goes both ways, but I think a lot of times the career side, not that it takes care of itself, but we're already set up to have mentors for engineering and how to learn those things and climb the corporate ladder and progress in our careers. A lot of times we don't have that on the other side of the coin, like you mentioned. Yeah.
Leadership comes with high expectations, too many responsibilities, too little time, and the constant pressure to keep up. If you're feeling stretched thin, you're not alone. At Engineer Your Success, we help leaders take back control so that they can lead with confidence, delegate effectively, and stop running on empty. You don't have to choose between success and sanity. Let's build a leadership plan that works for you. Visit engineeryoursuccessnow.com today, because thriving isn't just for others, it's for you. So for you, what I found is, particularly when I was initially starting out, you'd have these discussions on work-life balance or work-life integration, whichever way you want to coin the phrase. And most people, when directly confronted with that, are like, no, I'm good. Like, I don't need that. I'm good. So what's your experience been?
What's the saying? When the student is ready, the teacher appears. For the last 12 years of my engineering career, and I never would have been open to the idea of hiring a coach to help me. It just seemed like so bogus. I was like, no way. I don't need that. That's not me. I'm good. But I think when the pain becomes acute enough where you're like, man, this just isn't working for me. My career didn't really change. I changed. I was looking for something different and I didn't know how to get it. Like, I kept saying, I need more. And I'm like, well, what does that even mean? And so last year I hired a coach. Ironically, it was actually two coaches, a guy named Richie Norton and a guy named Mitch Whiting. And they're not engineers. I guess maybe life coach is the best way to describe them. I hired them, did a group coaching for about a month, and then did a live event. And I was sold. I was like, this is exactly what I needed. They talked about all this stuff on the other side of the coin that I wasn't getting, right? How to build the life you want. What does success look like? What does meaning look like? What's your purpose? All these things that seem very woo-woo and weird, but there's something that oftentimes goes neglected, at least it was for me.
When you think about this interview, you have people that are listening. If there were three key points that you wanted to share with the audience that will absolutely change their life, what would those three points be?
I love this question. The three things that I would mention, and there's a list of things that we could say. There's not three right answers, but the first one would be own the morning is what I call it. And so it's building a morning routine that gets you focused on your mental and physical health and also just excited about whatever it is that you're doing. My routine in the morning is very simple. It's read, write, and run. Those are the three things that I do. They help me keep my sanity and keep me physically strong. I believe in moving your body every day, and that'll help you. There's this positive integration with the mind and what we do at work. If you're moving your body, you're going to be a better engineer. Number one would be own the morning. The morning is important, because it's how you set the tone for the day. But I'll say this last caveat. I highly suggest that people don't use the morning to get ahead in their profession, whether that's answering emails or getting prepped for the day. The morning is for you, whatever's going to make you a better father, husband, engineer, all that stuff, right? Morning routine. Number two would be building some sort of habit or routine for daily reflective writing. The most common is known as journaling, reflecting on your day and looking back on what went well, what didn't go well, what you learned, that kind of thing. We learn from reflecting on experience. And so a lot of times we gather all these experiences just from life and from living, but we don't take the time to figure out where those nuggets of wisdom are, right? And really learn from what happened to us and the decisions that we made and what we want from life. And so number two would be find some way to start and continue the habit of daily reflective writing. Number three, I think everybody needs to have creative projects in their life. And that could be within your career, but also outside of your career. There's this muscle that we use when we're in charge of a project. For example, I wrote a children's book. I self-published it. I did not illustrate it. So I had to hire an illustrator. I hired my brother to help me with some of the formatting. There was a lot of hours that went into that book that weren't performed by me, right? But I was the conductor or the architect leading the charge. I was the one paying for it, setting the tone and the direction. And I think that's a muscle that we don't use very often. And the last thing I'll say about that is when we have these creative projects, we're able to create value and share it with other people.
No, I think that's great. I want to give you some opportunity to talk a little bit about your coaching practice, what you have going on that side of life.
I appreciate that. Thanks, James. So my business is humanengineercoach.com. I primarily do one-on-one coaching with engineers and engineering leaders, somebody in a leadership role, whether that's a business owner or leader within a business. I love it. I absolutely love it. Like most engineers, I'm a little bit more introverted and I like smaller groups. So for me, one-on-one coaching is phenomenal. We get to talk like we are now, and it's been a great experience. I've been doing it for the last year and a half or so.
That's great. So now we're going to get to the point in the episode where we're going to change things around. You are the interviewer and I am the interviewee. What questions do you have for me?
Oh, this is great. Sticking with the theme of looking for more, and we already established that's good, right?
Yes.
Be grateful for what you have and always look for more. What are you looking for at this point in your life? What are you looking for more of?
Am I limited to one thing?
Oh, no. Yeah, anything. It can be 10 things, whatever you want.
So continuing to, whether it's through the podcast, through my coaching programs, or through other things that I'm working on to have more impact in the lives of other engineers, engineering leaders, that's number one. And then there's also this emerging area. There was a time when I was reluctant to show up fully as myself in most professional settings. And that means, you know, in addition to being a father and a husband and an engineer and a coach, I'm a Christian. There was this reluctance to really show up fully with that side of who I am. There's this intersection between business and faith, engineering, coaching, and faith that is emerging for me. And I'm looking forward to doing more to nourish that side of who I am so that I can nourish the people that come through my world.
I love that. It sounds like, based on what you said, that's a new emerging thing and going along with the theme of change, right? That maybe that wasn't something you even entertained years ago with your coaching, but now you're realizing that, hey, I can talk about these things because it's part of me, right?
Yeah, it's been emerging over the past several years. I would say for the past 3 or 4 years, it's been emerging, but it is coming more and more towards a peak, towards a crescendo, so to speak. Through life circumstances, through things that have been going on, it's just like, okay, I'm here. Now I'm looking forward to seeing what the reality of that looks like. I have no idea what that's going to be. I've been working another brand. So you have Engineer Your Success, which is the coaching, leadership development side of the company. I do public speaking, presentations, facilitation, all of those things with engineering leaders, engineering companies. And then you have Engineer Your Success Media, which is the podcasting piece. I also help companies to develop corporate podcasts as well. And there's a few other programs there. Then there's Nourishing Word. It is words that are here to nourish your soul, to nourish who you are. And I think that the combination of those things is what's emerging.
I love all that. I look up to you and what you're doing. You're doing a lot. We talked a couple of weeks ago and man, you're busy. And I admire that. But you're busy on the right things, the things that give you excitement and purpose.
No, thank you. I appreciate that, Jake. I really enjoyed our conversation. And I'm going to end this episode like I end every episode, and that's this. Many people know what to do. Fewer people know how to do it. And there's a select group of people that actually follow through, do it, and are living a life of their dreams. Jake, I want to thank you for being part of that select few.
That's my honor.